The following program with Mark Dankoff was recorded on Wednesday afternoon for a more recent analysis of the events that have transpired overnight in Ukraine. Please refer to nationalbugle.com at the top of the war section. There should be a link to the Stormfront program from this morning, which Mark Dankoff also joined. Please enjoy the show. Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio, NBR. NBR. What is NBR spelled backwards? That is RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the dyslexia clinic of free speech, because if you've got dyslexia, you come here and you free speakly. That's what you do. And to keep us free speakingly, please go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button and send, you send money. And then you go to nationalbugle.com. That isn't NBR. That is nationalbugle.com. And you download the Kosher Certified app, because you don't want to be part of that whole Kosher Certified scam. All right. And with us today, for the first time ever, we've got Cram Folknod. Cram Folknad?
Graham Folknad, known to some people as Mark Dankoff spelled backwards.
Oh, now I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've got a backwards dyslexic world right now. And I wanted you in particular because you've been following the events in Ukraine for a long time, Ukraine and Russia. And, what the heck's going on?
Well, nothing that would surprise our listeners. It's amazing to me. I, of course, have expanded my own news sources on this to include a constant ticker tape of stuff coming to me on Telegram from Russian news sources, ranging, of course, from Sputnik News to some fascinating alternative sites like Intel Slava, CIS, and also Donbass Insider. So the picture that they're painting of what is happening from their side of the aisle really sounds almost frightening. And it's, if you want to be melodramatic about it, the prophetic fulfillments of people like Pat Buchanan and David Stockman and Ron Paul on this.
Hey, I have a really quick question.
Sure.
Because I've been using RT a lot lately. It's been a go-to, not just for Russian news, but for Canadian news.
Yes.
Do you think that RT and Sputnik and these other places that you mentioned – do you think they're going to get taken off the American internet?
Well, that's an excellent question, because the move is already officially underway in Britain to have RT banned. And I assume, and I mean, and that's coming straight from the top of the British government. So if that's any indication, I think that RT and Sputnik International will shortly go the way of all flesh in Britain. And if it happens in Britain, I think there's an excellent chance that it would happen here, which is a total outrage, of course, because these news outlets, I think many of our own listeners here at RBN certainly are acquainted with these outlets. We've used news links from both of those agencies in the past. I've given interviews to Sputnik International, including one recently on the crisis in the Ukraine that'll be in our ton of news listings for our listeners. In terms of the ultimate show post. But when you watch these networks, which one can certainly do if you have cable or if you have a smartphone, you can get into their applications and listen to the commentary of these individuals that are on these networks. The standard line, of course, in controlled news media, largely Zio news media in the United States, is that these are propaganda outlets. But the fact is, of course, that the biggest propaganda outlets in global media are the American media, primarily the British media secondarily. The other thing that's interesting are the number of people that come on these shows who clearly are not Russian puppets. Michael Maloof, a longtime Pentagon official, was one of the people that RT interviewed that will be in our own news listings here where people can see the show and see the extent to which an ex-Pentagon official analyzing Putin's speech said many of the things that we would say here on this show in regard to how all of this happened, and that basically we should not have been at all surprised that this would be the actions of Russia in Donbass and Russia's reactions to what clearly has been an encirclement policy of Russia on the part of NATO in the last 30 years.
Encirclement. So that goes beyond containment, right?
That's right.
It's much more aggressive.
That's right. And I think as RT has pointed out, when you go back to George Kennan, the ultimate architect of the NATO doctrine of containment during the Cold War, clearly we're dealing with something here that is not containment. It is offensive in nature. It is encircling in nature. It's threatening in nature. And clearly all of this, as David Stockman and Pat Buchanan have pointed out, violates several things in addition to common sense. NATO never had a charter for any of these expanded operations. It had but one statutory purpose, and that was the defense of Western Europe in the days of the old Soviet Union from a Soviet attack. And when you look at the original purposes of NATO, it was understood by NATO itself, as well as a series of American administrations throughout the Cold War, that our commitments in NATO in terms of Article 5 did not extend, quote unquote, 1 inch east of the Elbe River. Whereas now, obviously, you have a situation where instead of, say, having a dozen members of NATO, you start looking at has happened since 97. We got about 30 of them now.
Elbe River being the border between the old East Germany, which got incorporated into Germany, and Poland, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And so you have that's an issue in terms of not only NATO adding to mission, NATO adding plenty of countries that were not a part of the original NATO charter or alliance, but in breaking our word, and it's been demonstrated both in the George Washington University archives in Washington, D.C., as well as by things that have been published in mainstream outlets like Der Spiegel, that the American word to Gorbachev and to Russia coming from George Herbert Walker Bush and James Baker. And I'm not a big fan of those guys, but I think they offered those promises with the best of intentions, as near as I can tell, that there would never be a situation where the United States would take advantage of the dissolution of the old Soviet Union. And we would not be recruiting ex-Soviet republics and ex-Warsaw Pact powers to join NATO. Take a look at the list, folks. That is exactly what we have done.
That's exactly what's happened.
That's exactly what's happening.
Right.
And so when you look at what's happening in the Ukraine, both in terms of the American support for an illegal coup d'etat, courtesy of the Obama-Clinton-Newland people in February of 2014, which included such marvelous things as the Odessa trade union fire in 2014 that Mr. Putin made reference to in his speech on this whole subject. But then, of course, when you look at that, the coup d'etat in February of 2014, which overthrew a legitimately elected government, that's where things began cascading in the Ukraine. But I think as well that this mess in the Ukraine certainly is understood by any reasonable observer, any knowledgeable observer, as an extension of these outlandish policies involving NATO ever since the days of the Bill Clinton administration and his subsequent illegitimate bombing of Serbia in 1999, which was another turning point in all of this.
Right. And really, you know, part of the Jewish foreign policy agenda. And I think that needs to be underscored from time to time. So I there's one thing I want to clarify, and then I have a question. So just regarding George Kennan, you know, during the Cold War, there were all sorts of shenanigans going on in terms of proxy wars around the globe and all sorts of things. But the basic ideology or the basic idea, philosophy of containment was preserve the status quo and wait it out because sooner or later, Russians will go back to being Russians. They will, you know, sooner or later they'll take care of this, you know, internally they'll take care of this communist situation that they had. I mean, that's my understanding. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's basically correct. And we have come all the way to a situation now. And one of the posts that will be available to our listeners on the Republic Broadcasting Network to review all tons of stuff that I've been getting ready for them to read at their leisure or to watch. The YouTube video on RT Live from the 22nd of February is most instructive because the title of that video is All Eyes on Ukraine as Russian Peacekeepers to Enter Donbass. Now, when you watch that show, I've already made reference to the fact that the old ex-Pentagon official Michael Maloof was on there as one of three commentators. Ben Norton came to us from Managua as a second commentator on the show. And fascinatingly enough, let's contrast George Kennan with something that Ben tells us about on that RT broadcast from the 22nd of February. And that is that the current on the newsstand edition of Foreign Affairs, which, as we all know, if you've been around Foreign Affairs at all, is the basic mouthpiece of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Atlantic Council and all the NATO NGOs and everything else. There's actually, according to Ben Norton, an article in the new Foreign Affairs where someone in that publication of all publications, someone got an article published in there that is in the front cover listings of Foreign Affairs that actually advocates putting nuclear weaponry into Ukraine. Now, this is how crazy this is. And of course, in the day and age of George Kennan.
I just want, for people who don't know who George Kennan is, he was an American diplomat. I guess he was born in like around more or less 1905 or something, early 20th century. And he was an American diplomat, had spent time in American embassies in Europe. And in the 1930s, I believe, he was in the American embassy in Moscow. And then after World War II, he was the architect of this containment policy. That's correct?
Yes, that's basically it. And again, as has been noted repeatedly in the Russian press, the Russian English language press, when we go back to George Kennan, who is kind of the architect, the most publicly identified architect of NATO's containment policy. Lo and behold, obviously, if George Kennan were alive today, he would not recognize what we're doing.
About 100. Yes. I'm not sure when he died, but he lived to be about 100. He lived into the 21st century. And if he lived if we were alive today, what would he say?
Well, he certainly wouldn't recognize anything that is going on now as being sane. As a matter of fact, the RT story on George Kennan is one of many things that we're going to have up on the big board at some point for listeners. Robert Bridge wrote the article on this for RT. He's an American, by the way. The title of that article is Why Isn't America Listening to the Advice on NATO Expansion of Its Foremost 20th Century Expert on Russia? That's the title of Robert Bridges' essay. And here's a quote, which I pasted into what we will have on the big board at some point at nationalbugle.com. George Kennan is quoted as saying, expanding NATO would be the most fateful error of American policy in the entire post-Cold War era. Can't get any clearer than that. That sounds like Pat Buchanan, right? We wouldn't want to push that comparison too far, but up to that point, I think we'd agree that Buchanan and Stockman have been saying the same thing as George Kennan.
As have you and I and David Duke and and Cram Folknad.
That's right. Cram has been in there for years on this.
Okay, I've got a question. So Vladimir Putin recognized the sovereignty of these two republics, the Donetsk People's Republic and the Luhansk People's Republic. And if you look at the details, he recognized them in the territory that they claim in their constitution, which is the province within the provincial borders of that they had before the 2014 coup. So they had provincial borders. Now, currently they do not control all of that territory. Some of the territory within those provincial borders is controlled by the Ukrainian military.
Exactly.
And it seems to me that one of three things could happen. So one would be just leaving the status quo where that territory remains occupied by the Ukrainian military. And, you know, Putin has not been particularly aggressive, and he did wait 8 years to recognize his republic. So that's one thing. Another thing is that the Ukrainian military could simply withdraw from that territory. And, you know, we know that in 2014, when Crimea voted for independence and then was accepted into the Russian Federation, that the Ukrainian military, to the extent it existed there, they simply withdrew because you already had overwhelming Russian forces at the military base in Sevastopol, which even when Crimea was part of Ukraine, the Sevastopol military base was a Russian base. That's the second scenario. And then the third scenario is they fight over it. Do you have any indication, any feelings about what's going to happen?
Well, I am relying at this point on things coming from Russian news sources that are dealing almost exclusively with this, what is going on in the Donbass on a literally minute-by-minute basis. I'm referring to Donbass Insider, which people can even see that one online without subscribing to what they're doing on Telegram. But between Donbass Insider and Intel Slava in this CIS news service, it is obvious that, as you've articulated it for us, Dr. Slattery, and that show that I cited from the 22nd of February on RT put up a map that will really enable people to grasp at a single glance what it is you were just saying that's so critically important. And that is that these republics, independent republics of Donetsk and Lugansk, represent only a part of the total territory that is defined as being either of those. Now, in that regard, when you look at Intel Slava, when you look at Donbass Insider and CIS, and what is literally minute by minute and hour by hour stuff, it's just a constant ticker tape of the latest stuff, videos of troop movements and stuff that's the amount of it is just absolutely breathtaking that is available. It's overwhelming, really. But what seems to be emerging is that there is increasing support in elements in the Russian government, but more importantly, in contrast to Western propaganda through CNN as one example, there is apparently tremendous indigenous support in the much wider Lugansk and much wider Donetsk sectors going beyond the territories currently held by these so-called independent republics that desires to become a part of Russia themselves. Now, this is where we get into areas currently held, as you point out, by Zelensky's Ukrainian army. What's going to happen if there is a further moves toward the independence of the entirety of Donetsk and Lugansk results in Russia finally saying, hey, they're all in with us, then clearly that's setting the stage for a direct confrontation between the Russian military and Zelensky's army. But there's something else that's even more ominous, or as ominous, in all of this, and that is that there have been reports that the United States has deployed 700 or 800 American troops on the Polish border with Ukraine. That's bad enough. You could see how that could get really dicey in a hurry. The other thing that has been reported, and I keep asking these Russian sources for their understanding of these reports on new American missiles being introduced into Poland. I've been asking all kinds of sources, Russian and American, people that know about these kinds of things. How many missiles are we talking about? Where are they being positioned? What kind of missiles are these? What kind of range do they have? What can they deliver in the way of a warhead? Because
make the world go away. And get off my shoulder.
say and make the world go.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
And make the world go away.
What kind of missiles are these? What kind of range do they have? What can they deliver in the way of a warhead? Because the last report that I saw on this indicated, and I don't even remember where I saw it, I've been seeing so much stuff, that these American missiles being installed in Poland, we're only 800 miles from Moscow. Mm-hmm. Now, between that fact and the fact that you've got these reports on these Russian or American troops that Biden has added to the mix in Poland, getting really close to the Polish-Ukrainian border, and then you add to it what we've been discussing here in regard to whether or not the rest of Donetsk and Lugansk will end up as a part of a larger so-called independent republic, two independent republics with much wider territory linked up to the Russian Federation, at least in recognition. And then the Zelensky's army occupies some of that territory. I mean, you can see how this thing could absolutely become a Guns of August situation. You can argue it already has.
Yeah. Yeah, it's extremely dangerous. And, of course, in the American press, they call Vladimir Putin, you know, an aggressor and all of this. And, it's quite the opposite. Far from being aggressive.
Exactly.
He's shown extreme restraint, caution, and critics might even say timidness. Because think about it. 8 years ago, the country closest with the closest historical relation, the long, giant border with Russia, Ukraine, a country that it's even hard to really differentiate Ukrainian history from Russian history. They've been so intertwined. And in that country, you have the United States, a hostile power. I don't think Russia is really a hostile power to the United States, but the United States, under the our Jewish overlords, is certainly hostile to Russia. And so you had Victoria Nuland and the rest of the gang under the formal supervision of Joe Biden as vice president, because he was Obama's viceroy on Ukraine, as Stephen F. Cohen described it, overthrow the government and install a hostile government, a government that would be hostile to Russia and certainly hostile to the ethnic Russian population in Ukraine. And what was Russia's response? Russia's response wasn't to try to overthrow that government. Russia's response was these three provinces declared independence. Russia only recognized the independence of one, the most strategically important, Crimea, and annexed it. But the other two, he took eight years. And meanwhile, you would know better than I, but from time to time, the Ukrainian army was militarily, shelling and fighting with the Russian separatists, these separatists in these republics. So that's massive restraint. And that's why I don't know how these next weeks are going to respond. But it's completely impossible to think that Vladimir Putin had some master plan to sit around for 8 years and what was he doing during these 8 years? He was trying to get the Ukrainian government to abide by Minsk Accords,
exactly.
which simply would return those two provinces to Ukraine. It would return the two provinces to Ukraine on condition that the Ukrainians stop being mean to the Russians. How's that aggressive? But that's how it's going to be spun, right?
Let me say three things in regard to that, Dr. Slattery. The first, and you've basically said it, and I stated this explicitly in my interviews on this Ukrainian-Russian situation for both the Tehran Times as well as Sputnik International. In my lifetime, and I've seen a lot of stuff, as you have, sir, a lot of stuff in the way of lying, in the way of distortion, in the way of censorship on the part of Zio mainstream media in this country. And yet I would have to say that this present way in which since 2014, this circumstance has been covered in the Ukraine and in the Donbass and in terms of the American NATO relationship with Putin's Russia, this is the most outlandish, Orwellian, distorted, based on falsehood, deliberate falsehood package of garbage I have ever witnessed. The American mainstream media has reached an entirely new low in the absolute lies that are being poured into the minds of people who listen to any of this trash. Let's just take several of the things that you talked about. It is clear that the Obama-Clinton-Nuland coup d'etat in Kiev in February of 2014 was illegal, and it was the overthrow of a legitimately elected government in that country, whether you like the Yanukovych regime or not. Now, having said that, that coup d'etat opened the door for the separatist movements that we have seen in Lugansk and Donetsk. And in terms of Crimea, and this is where Buchanan and David Stockman, among others, have done a marvelous job of pointing all of this out. As a matter of fact, I'll mention one other source on this, because it will be in our news listings for listening.
Anytime you're feeling blue.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, KosherTify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher-certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You say you want me back again. That's the time I'll come back home to you.
And this is where Buchanan and David Stockman, among others, have done a marvelous job of pointing all of this out. As a matter of fact, I'll mention one other source on this because it will be in our news listings for listeners. There is something that AG's Covert Action magazine has put out. A lady by the name of Dee Wright. Is it too late to avert war with Russia? That gets into a lot of the same stuff with maps and graphics. And there we can see that in terms of Crimea, the Crimeans' historic relationship with Russia goes back well before the United States even existed as a country. It is clear that these NATO and CIA and EU machinations that resulted in this coup in February of 2014 had designs on the longtime Russian naval base there at Sevastopol. That's very clear. And last but not least, the Crimean people, just like these folks in Donetsk and Lugansk, the people of Crimea decided all on their own that if it came down to having a CIA coup in Kiev that was going to subsequently engulf Crimea, and where Crimeans would lose their own sense of independence, and obviously would have a series of anti-Russian activities that they that would be aimed at them being in the middle of this whole thing. They were quite happy to have a referendum on this whole subject that resulted overwhelmingly in the people of Crimea exercising their right to engage in a renewed entrance into Russia. And that's exactly what they did by something like, what, at least a 90% yes. Vote of Crimean people said, we're going back to Russia, because the alternative is to have the European Union banks and the Central Intelligence Agency as our overlords, and we don't want that.
Right.
And so what you have are these idiots like Zelensky, of course, but more importantly, Anthony the Zionist Blinken, and Victoria the Zionist Nuland, and Wendy the Zionist Sherman, and Linda Thomas Greenfield, who is the ultimate black Zionist in the Biden administration, monkeying around with American foreign policy in the Ukraine.
Is he monkeying around?
That was a poor choice of words. I let me think of something else, since this that's got to be out there in the air. Let's stick with that. She's
monkeying around in the traditional sense. There was nothing subliminal about that.
That's
yeah.
right. Nothing subliminal there at all, folks. Anyway, but there she is, another Jew, and these are all Jews.
She might as well be a Jew, but she's black.
Yes.
I mean, the black lady, I don't think she's Jewish, but the other ones are.
Linda Thomas Greenfield is Jewish, absolutely.
Is she Jewish?
She's Jewish, and there's no doubt about it. And,
wow.
And
you never know. These things happen.
That's right. She's kind of the Sammy Davis Jr. of American foreign policy, only she's a female.
Is she married to a Jewish man? Is she married to a Jewish man? Is that what happened?
I've never tried to find out, but I know that she's Jewish, and I know that the Jewish mainstream press, and getting into our old friends at the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, I have a real laugh on them that's kind of was designed to be the opening joke on the show, by the way, or the Jewish Forward.
My opening joke.
What's that?
It's probably better than my opening joke.
Well, here's my opening joke would have been two laughs, one of which was my video on VK of the seasoned wisdom of Mitch McConnell today, who said that Biden's problem was that when he didn't show enough resolve in supporting the Afghan National Army in Kabul, that's why we presently have been humiliated by Putin in this present circumstance. But this Jewish news syndicate, and this, folks, listen to this. As long as we're talking about Linda Thomas Greenfield, the Jewish News Syndicate came out with a terrific blurb today that has been reported in all these Russian telegram news services. Listen to this one, folks, from JNS.org. Quote, the developing war in Ukraine is drawing America's attention away from Iran's pursuit of nuclear hegemony. A terrible deal with Iran will probably be signed next week. It will mark a total defeat for the West, a promise of war in times when everything is done to avoid yet another one, unquote. So between the Jews working for an American war and NATO war with Putin's Russia, and the Jews at the Jewish News Syndicate, who want to remind us again that, of course, we need a Zion war with Iran, that's the sick laugh that I was going to open with. But nonetheless, if you search JNS, Linda Thomas Greenfield's Jewish heritage, I'm sure will come up in some news releases. So, still there?
Well,
good.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. The problem with the mute button. So one thing that, you know, we've talked about before, we both agreed on this, the difference in the treatment of Crimea on the one hand and these two Donbass provinces on the other hand, by the Russian government. I mean, Crimea with the Sevastopol base, the one warm water naval base that Russia has, as well as, you know, the long historic ties, but in particular that street, it was too strategically important to let that remain in a Ukraine that had been captured, taken over by this Jewish coup d'etat from the American State Department. So there's that reason. And as for the logic of Putin trying to, for 8 years, trying to reincorporate these other two provinces back into Ukraine, one might say, well, why would he do that? But, you know, you have to remember that the president who was overthrown, Viktor Yanukovych, he won, And he won his election. If you look at the electoral map, he won his election with strong support from these Russian-speaking regions in the east. And as long as you had, 30-something percent of the Ukrainian population speaking Russian, and, you know, others who have more religious ties to the Russian Orthodox Church, then that was a bulwark in and of itself against Ukraine, incorporating into NATO and the EU. It, as long as you had a critical mass of Russian speaking people or Russian Orthodox worshiping people in Ukraine, you had kind of a balance of power internally. And that's how it had been since the Soviet Union broke up. And Crimea, the population was small enough that you could take that off, and you could still probably, if these two provinces were reincorporated into Ukraine, you could probably still maintain that balance of power. And I believe that was Putin's logic. But of course, I think he has been responding to American aggression, especially with Nuland and company back. You know, they're back in the State Department. I think that during the Trump administration, the prospect of Trump was never able to exercise his own independent foreign policy. That's what the whole Russia gate was about, was tying his hands with regards to Russia. But it was clear from his campaign that he wanted to try to improve relations with Russia, and it was something that was plausible during the Trump campaign, that you could have a resolution, you could reincorporate these provinces. You wouldn't have, I mean, Trump himself had expressed doubt at why NATO even exists. But with the Nuland, Blinken, Sherman gang back in charge, no, there's no prospect for improvement. And, you know, you got a Jewish president in Ukraine. There's just no prospect for it. And so I think Putin has been responding to the situation as it is developed through Zio-American actions, and looking forward, what's going to happen? I think that depends on what the Americans do, and he's going to respond to it. And I have confidence that however he responds, he's going to respond in a restrained yet strategically sound way. That's my – I have confidence, but I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it remains to be seen, but my sense of things is this, that Vladimir Putin may have finally decided that any attempt at negotiation or compromise with the United States and with NATO and with this encirclement expansionist crowd has now been absolutely proven to be an impossibility. And this was pointed out in this RT show that I made reference to earlier, where fascinatingly enough, you had two of the three commentators on that show basically saying that the so-called sanctions that are now in the process of unfolding, American sanctions on Russia and Russian institutions and Russian individuals, are not even a concern, or have not been a concern of Putin's recently, because he was absolutely convinced, and I think correctly, I think two of these three guests are absolutely correct on that show, Ben Norton being one, Michael Maloof, the ex-Pentagon guy, being the other, that these sanctions were going to continue regardless of what Putin did in regard to his diplomatic position with Zelensky and with the government in Kiev. In other words, it's like, hey, they're going to do it to us anyway. We know that they're going to do it to us. We know that they're not negotiating in good faith. So to hell with them. That's basically, I think, what happened there. And part of this, I think, is corroborated by an incredible statement made by Poroshenko, of course, who was Zelensky's predecessor in the installed regime in Kiev, where Poroshenko admitted, and I wish I could remember the source. I've been consulting hundreds of these things, folks, in recent days. I apologize that I didn't write this one down for the show posting, but we can probably resurrect it, maybe, if not on Google search, then on Yandex search, certainly. Poroshenko admitted that he, Poroshenko, who, of course, had signed off on the so-called Minsk Accords in these negotiations, Poroshenko admitted that he never had any intention of having himself or Ukraine abiding by the so-called Minsk Accords. that it was a temporary holding pattern while the United States, the implication was, while the United States and NATO and the Kiev forces figure out how to continue trying to chew up the entire Donbass and Lugansk region for themselves in regard to bringing all of it under the control of the installed Kiev regime. That is an incredible statement coming from Poroshenko himself. Look this one up, folks. I'll try to find it for our news posts. But this tells you, and of course, it certainly told the Putin and the Russians, Lavrov and the defense chief Shoigu and so forth, about how serious NATO and the United States were in negotiating with any degree of fairness on this. So, but there are several other things that come up in regard to the curiosity of this.
And just before we move to that, you saw President Putin's speech, I assume.
I saw it twice. I saw it when, at the time that it was live on Sputnik International through their live feed. Then I subsequently watched it again, where when they posted it on YouTube, kind of as a semi-permanent link, unless it's taken down, they had a more understandable English language translator speaking while Mr. Putin was talking.
Yeah, I saw it twice, but I saw the same translation twice, and it was the simultaneous translation, which is a lot harder to do. But
right.
There was one point, and maybe you remember where it was in the speech, there was one point where Vladimir Putin seemed to be expressing some regret that he had not necessarily misjudged, but maybe been a little bit too generous in his assessment of American or Ukrainian motives. I can't remember exactly where it was, but sometimes he said something like, you know, this is a decision that should have been taken long ago. He said something like that.
Right. And I remember that vividly. And I found myself thinking, and this is where someone else enters the picture that nobody, to my knowledge, is presently talking about in the Western world. And that's General Igor Strelkov, Paul Robinson's 2014 article on him, General Strelkov. It was entitled Putin's Right Flank. And that's in the American Conservative. We do have that link that'll go up on our big board. I have a series of other links on Strelkov that I have discovered, including from establishment outfits like the Atlantic Council and Business Insider. When General Strelkov, of course, was very critically involved in what it was that Russia was attempting to do militarily in eastern Ukraine before things reached their present point. The reason I mentioned General Igor Strelkov is that General Strelkov himself, from everything I've been able to read about him in English, which is not terribly voluminous, but also what I've read about the Russian generals generally, I feel that at this juncture that there was pressure on Mr. Putin, and I think he acknowledged that people like Strelkov had perhaps been correct all along, and that is that try as one might to negotiate with the likes of the Zio-Con leadership of the United States and NATO, that these people don't want to negotiate and that we had better take the hardest possible line on whatever these people try to do to us here, as well as with these ongoing encirclement policies and bringing NATO and American military assets closer to Russian borders and so forth and so on. Keep an eye on this General Igor Strelkov, because no one that I'm aware of currently, and I emphasize currently, in Western media is mentioning this guy, but they'd better get ready, because I think President Putin, of his own accord, has decided that it's time to take the gloves off when it comes to the United States and NATO, something that was referred to today by a well-connected Russian foreign policy expert as the Putin Doctrine. We are all aware of the Monroe Doctrine, right? We are told today in RT about the emergence of the Putin Doctrine, and the guy that
what is the Putin Doctrine? How would you describe it?
Well, let me just read the subtitle of this article. This is Professor Sergei Karganov, and to quote his credentials, he is the honorary chairman of Russia's Council on Foreign and Defense Policy. He is an academic supervisor at the School of International Economics and Foreign Affairs, Higher School of Economics, or HSE, in Moscow. And Dr. Karaganov has this English language post, an RT, again, entitled Russia's New Foreign Policy, the Putin Doctrine. And the subtitle says, Moscow's confrontation with NATO is just the start, quote unquote. Now, taking Dr. Karaganov at his word, and I do, and in conjunction with military men like General Igor Strelkov, I think that President Putin, despite his best intentions in regard to the avoidance of what could be a global military conflict of just unbelievable horror, keeping in mind that the Russians lost, what, some 20 million people in the Second World War. Mr. Putin lost his own brother in this dreadful conflict. Putin's entire family suffered through this, as we learn if we start researching what is known about Vladimir Putin in reputable English language sources. But nonetheless, it is
well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I said a hound couldn't catch him down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
What is known about Vladimir Putin in reputable English language sources, that nonetheless it is now apparently, and this is where this latest mess emerges, that the Vladimir Putin that you and I watched in this speech this week, Dr. Slattery, he was reasoned. He was articulate, modern in tone in regard to his demeanor, but analyzing what he said, it is very clear that Karaganov is likely correct, that this is a turning point. We have the beginning of a Putin doctrine where it's been decided that there's going to be no more of playing Mr. Nice Guy with NATO, that the policy is confrontation, and that the Moscow's confrontation with NATO, as Dr. Karaganov articulates that, is quote-unquote just the start. That article, I believe, in RT Today, and we will have it up on the big board and with this show description, as well as some links I'm going to put up on General Strelkov, indicates that all of these people that have been wishing for the demise of Vladimir Putin and that this would bring Russia to heel in terms of Zyokon world government, they better think again, because Vladimir Putin is the least of their worries in regard to these other forces that are now emerging, where it's quite obvious that if something did happen to President Putin, God forbid, that a real hardliner would take over.
There you go. Hey, listen, we only have like a minute or two left. How would you like to wrap this up?
Well, a couple of things. If you're interested in a copy of David Irving's Hitler's War, Mark Weber's got those for sale at IHR. I have some bonus coverage of Dave Martin's book, The Assassination of James Forrestal. That's definitely worth looking at. There's another angle on all this as well, and that is the Russian Orthodox Church and the World Council of Churches, to which the Russian Orthodox Church presently belongs. That's going to be another indication of what's going on in Russia. How much longer does the Russian Orthodox Church hang in there with the World Council of Churches with all of these activities going on? I don't have the answer to that, but people need to keep an eye on it. And here's one we really didn't discuss that's going to be big in the news listings, folks. Watch Turkey. The Turkey-Israeli pipeline is a potential alternative to Nord Stream 2. And also watch the Israeli pressure on Turkey to deny Russian Black Sea naval access to the Bosphorus and to the Dardanelles Straits. Keep an eye on that story, folks. Turkey is going to play a bigger role in Zio policies than perhaps we might have recognized up to now, in terms of the way this thing is going to play out.
Yeah, Erdogan's always a wild card. Well, thank you so much, Mark, for joining me today.
Yes. And really enjoyed it as always. And when the show posts, we will get the complete listing of these news stories up as well. And I think we had a pretty good discussion of a topic that's absolutely voluminous in terms of what's out there, as well as stuff that comes in not every week or so, but by the minute.
Right. Okay, thank you. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.